Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I hope you're well. After my big announcement last week, everyone's like, okay. but really lovely to hear from a few people who are already booked to go to the Russell Brand community event. I'm just so happy that I'm going to be speaking there. So I think you probably know that by now. You've probably seen it all across social media. I'm going to be speaking there, in case you didn't hear last week's podcast, at the community festival on Saturday the 15th of July. So looking forward to being part of that event and bringing that message of freedom from the alcohol trap. That's what I really want to share. Really looking forward to that event. While we're talking events, don't forget we do have our podcast meetup, a live recording of the podcast coming up on Tuesday, August the 15th, and then on Saturday, the 19th of August, Sober by the Sea. So there's a few things going on. If you head to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find that information there. I just want to share a couple of other things with you before I introduce our guest as well. I sometimes forget to share with you the fact that I kind of wear other hats, and I have a website called imperfectlynatural.com. That's imperfectly natural. This has been going a lot of years since I wrote my first book, which was Imperfectly Natural Woman. I was so ahead of my time. I often joke about that, kind of writing about kale and coconut oil before they had their own publicists. But, you know, it still is my absolute passion to share stuff around holistic living. I don't sell anything. I'm not asking you for any money. You go directly to the companies if you're interested. I just recommend products and things that work. And at the moment, I'm in the middle of my Platinum Awards, which happen every year. We celebrate the best in natural products, natural services. So you might be a well-being author who enters, or a practitioner or a coach, or you might have, I don't know, skincare or supplements or a natural cleaning product. I really love covering it all. And I sometimes forget to share some of this stuff with you guys, but I realize how important it is, because so many Sober Club members have told me that since ditching the booze, suddenly the whole world has opened up to them, and possibly for the first time in their life, they're thinking, actually, do you know what? I think I will try a natural deodorant. Do you know what? I think I will clean my home without chemicals and put something natural on my skin. I mean, if I don't drink alcohol, why do I want it in my products? So that's why we do the awards. That's why I have this website. Head over to it and enter some of our competitions, because we've got some really great competitions. So a lot of the brands who enter the awards will also share competitions with us. And why would you not? It takes a second to enter, literally. So at the moment, I'm just glancing what we've got on the site. We've got competitions to win a fabulous TLC Renewal Face Cream from Aeos Skincare. Stands for Active Energized Organic Skincare. That's worth 120 quid. Really high-end, great stuff. We've got a set of award-winning vegan deodorants from Salt of the Earth, who were featured on the podcast a while back. They're absolutely brilliant natural deodorants. We've got the award-winning Silk skincare bundle from This Is Silk. You may remember Sonal Key was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago. We've got a Celestial Balm Glow Set from Rhythm of Beauty. Just absolutely gorgeous products. We've got some vegan happy stuff, a vegan happy bag, like this really lovely kind of tote bag. We've got some drinks from Halo to give away, and there's more. Oh, and a consultation, actually, must mention this one, a consultation with Lotus Holistic Essences. So it's not with the bottle of essences, but Julie, who runs Lotus Holistic Essences, makes these really gorgeous flower essences, you know, plant essences. And she'll do a special consultation for you. And what's really cool about those essences, if you're someone who's used, you know, bark flower remedies or other essences is that you'll know that they contain alcohol, typically. But she makes some that do not contain alcohol, and yet they're still fantastic. So do check that out. If you go to imperfectlynatural.com and click on competitions. And then, in addition, if you have a brand or you're a well-being author or a practitioner or a coach and you'd like to enter, then come over to the other page, platinumawards.co.uk, and maybe you'd like to enter and get some promo for the stuff you do as well. Just thought it'd be worth sharing that I've got all of this going on. I forget sometimes, but then I'll get a message from, I don't know, in the sober club, someone might post a message saying, I'm doing really well. I'm a few weeks in, you know, my sleep's improved. I'm starting to feel really good, but I've got these breakout on my skin, or I'm realizing that I've got this kind of rash develop, or I get a headache whenever I spray something. Oh, you know what? I can help with that. I really can. It really is looking at that holistic picture. I do find it really difficult to look at just the one thing. I find it hard to talk about just natural skincare. The amount of people that have said to me, well, you should have your own range, but I can't because I'm too busy promoting other people's, because I really like the range of choice and the fact that, you know, it's not only skincare that matters, because you've also got to think about what you're spraying around your home and the clothing you're wearing, what you're washing your clothes in, and obviously what you're eating, and on and on and on, which is all the more ironic now I think about it, you know, given that I was so holistically minded for so many years. How come I missed that elephant in the room that was alcohol, eh? Funny one that, isn't it? It just shows how very addictive and ingrained this whole alcohol piece is. It is so ingrained in us. It was so ingrained in me that this was a reward, that this was my self-care, that of course I could just have one, even when clearly I was not having one. So ingrained in us. Anyways, that leads us very nicely to this week's guest. I explain who she is and what she does on the interview. So enjoy. Well, I've been so looking forward to this interview because Christy Osborne is a certified sobriety coach, co-host of a podcast, which we'll talk about in a bit, and currently writing a book about sobriety. It sounds like we've got a lot in common.
It sounds like we have a lot in common.
We've got so much. I mean, we're twins practically, except I'm probably quite a lot older than you.
I don't know about
really
that.
Nice to meet you, Christy.
Likewise.
We'll dig into all these little bits. But first of all, just tell me a bit about your background, because you are based in London, but you're from Los Angeles, yeah?
Yeah. So grew up in LA, but been here in the UK for 15 years. And my 13-year-old daughter has a full British accent. And my 11-year-old son sounds very weird in between.
Oh, how but, yeah. funny.
We're Brits. We love it here.
So just tell us a bit about your background, because you had a really successful blog called An American Girl in Chelsea. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so that was really fun. So when I first moved over to the UK, I realized that I was struggling to find all the things. It was a lot different back then I first moved over. So I didn't know kind of where to get my nails done, all that kind of fun stuff, how the healthcare system worked, though, and the more serious stuff, how to get your driver's license, who were the best movers, what were the best neighborhoods to live in. And so I ended up just kind of doing this how-to guide for expat women that had relocated to London from the US. And it had a little bit of a cult following in the end. And I wound up, I think because they needed a peppy American, I wound up on Sky News for Harry and Meghan's wedding.
Oh, fantastic.
Talking about how we were getting an American princess. We all know how that went. And they continued to have me back. So it parlayed into some really fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and do you spend any time in the States still or not really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, my family is there. My husband's family is there. So we do spend still quite a bit of time there. Yeah.
Right. But what brought you to London in the first place?
My husband got a job here. We met in law school and he got a job here straight out of law school. So we said that we were going on a 2-year adventure. And we never looked back.
Okay. So let's get into the drinking bit then. So
let's do it.
Yeah. So March 2020, you recognized that wine was not your friend.
So
before we get into the details of that was lockdown, right? That was literally the beginning of lockdown, which, so of course, it could have gone either way.
It could have gone either way. And I'm sure that just like you do, I talk to so many women that it did go the other way.
Yeah, totally.
But For me personally, I like knew the jig was up and I needed to like at least at the very least go on a break. And for me, it ended up being a massive blessing because I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have anyone to like talk about this with. I didn't have, any parties, any Royal Ascots or anything that would normally be in the summer coming up that I had to like say, I think I'm not drinking today. And so it actually for me made it really like a safe place for me to like figure the whole thing out.
So what happened then? Did you just sort of start to recognize your kids obviously would have been a bit younger then. Did you just sort of recognize this is really not serving me? What kind of
Yeah,
drinker were you? Were you kind of a every day or was it more of a binger?
both. So like definitely had wine at home like every night, and then on a night out it was a binge. And it's so funny, right? Because it all started off always so pretty, get dressed up, go into Mayfair, put on the heels, all the things, and then just wind up, out till 4 a.m., coming back, falling asleep in your makeup, looking like a hot mess, wishing you had never been born as the kids wake up for school.
I
Yeah.
mean, we
So
talk about this sometimes, on I quite often mention on the podcast that it's clever, isn't it? The alcohol industry, the marketing, because they do all of
yeah.
their marketing around selling you this thing, but they and they it all looks so marvelously glamorous, but they never show the pictures of their clientele after they've bought their product. It's only
100%.
before we, because let's face it, it's not elegant. The after effects are not elegant or glamorous in
No.
any way. But we
Nope.
don't we kind of
Nope.
manage with the fading effect bias. We managed to miss this that bit, right?
Yes, we do. The fading effect bias is strong.
Okay, so you kind of recognized that this was going on, and were you aware at that point of of the kind of, I don't know, world of the sober
Nope.
curious, as it were? Did you know what a gray area drinker was? I mean, I certainly didn't when I stopped five and a
No, I
half
knew
years
none of
ago. No.
I knew none of it. I literally just said I think I need to go on a break. And
Yeah.
then I read all the books that I feel like we normally arrive at these days. I read Laura McCown's book, and I re ended up finding This Naked Mind, and that was the one that did the click for me, where
Okay, great.
and so it was Annie who I trained with and got one of my certifications in the end. But yeah, so it was just, and we were only allowed 1 hour out every day at that point to walk, and so I would
Yes, of
walk I
course.
would
What the hell madness was that, looking
I don't
back?
know, it
Oh my
was
God.
madness. But I would walk Battersea Park with my dog, and I would just loop the park over and over again, and I would find podcast after podcast after book. And I was like, oh, there's other people out there that are doing this, like
Isn't it
this.
an amazing
Yeah.
revelation? I remember that. I really do. I remember kind of, I actually felt a sense of shame at the beginning. So I didn't even want to tell anyone.
Totally.
Did you? Isn't that a weird one? I didn't feel shame when I was drinking. But, once I decided to stop, I felt this huge sense of shame. And I felt so unbelievably fragile that I really didn't feel that I could share it with anyone. So literally just kind of following podcasts and stuff. It was literally the only thing that saved me. Just that kind of concept that, okay, there's other people, you're not on your own here. You're not the only one who feels this way.
100%. I mean, everything that you just said so resonates. I didn't have one friend, one human that I knew that wasn't a drinker, that was an adult. And so it was like, who am I even allowed to talk to this about this with, So yeah, I'm just so grateful that, and now, I mean, there's such a huge, as we're both a part of, a huge, big Instagram community and like all of this stuff. And
I
so
know.
it's amazing now.
It really is amazing. So, tell me then, so what did you do? So you did, I can't, you did some Annie Grace stuff. You basically kind of sorted it out for yourself. But what, I know it was lockdown, so that would have helped you, of course, in the sense that you weren't socializing. But what happened when you did need to kind of get out and about with those, funky social friends? Did you, how did you go about telling them?
Well, the first one, obviously, and this is what I always tell clients too, right? The first one's always going to feel like wild and weird and wacky because you don't know how to do it because you've never done it before. I really took that to a whole new level because I think that the first barbecue I turned up at, I told everyone they were like basically drinking cancer juice,
Oh
and
dear.
nobody.
Oh, you went full of evangelical.
Listen, I had been locked up.
Oh, wow.
I was absorbing all this information and I did not understand what everybody was doing to themselves. But I quickly learned my lesson and I don't do that anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It never really pays to be too evangelical, does it?
No, not at all. Nope.
Wow. Okay. So you obviously did, you know, manage your social situation and over that lockdown, you know, reevaluated your sort of relationship with alcohol. What was the hardest bit for you? What did you find the most difficult to overcome? Was it the kind of the mindset around the social piece, the fact that we have, you know, for so many years have got these neural pathways that tell us it's glamorous? You know, what were the stumbling blocks? I'm always interested because it's different for everyone, isn't it? But what were the pieces that where you would have that little argument in your own mind in the early weeks or months?
Totally twofold. So the first one was, as you said, social. So I remember standing in my shower, literally listing my girlfriends one by one, thinking, okay, like that person probably is not going to stick around anymore because we're just drinking buddies. That person might, if we do things that like don't involve drinking, and that one I think will because we've been friends long enough, you know, I did that. And so that was really scary. And I think probably in retrospect, like kept me stuck longer than I needed to be, because it's funny, right? How all, as you, I'm sure you can attest to too, like how this all pans out, that ended up being the biggest blessing, is because now I know who my true people are. Like I have the closest friends. It's a small group, but I could, you know, it's such a blessing. And then the second thing that I found the most hard, if we're talking about like the beliefs, you know, that we needed to dismantle about what the, you know, the benefits are of alcohol for us, is that I thought I needed it to have fun. And that was the last one to go for me. I always used to picture, there was a day on the beach in Santa Monica, and four of my best girlfriends, all who lived here in London, had flown over, and we had some of our kids there, and it was my family, and we were just sitting on the beach, and we were laughing, and we were drinking rosé. And anytime someone said, well, like, this isn't forever, is it? Or like, well, you're not going to like not go on holiday and not have Whispering Angel, are you? I would always think of that day and think to myself, yeah, no, I don't know if it is possible. Like who could have that much fun, you know?
Yeah.
Until I really broke it down and I looked at that day and I realized like the fun and the beauty of that day was my family and my friends and the beach and our children and the weather and the, you know? And so I was like, it doesn't have to be all about the alcohol. Why am I giving it so much bloody credit?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm guessing that, you know, we'd be here all day if I asked you for, you know, some of the benefits that you that you found. But, you know, just share a few. Maybe some of the ones, you know, that surprised you. You know, I love Catherine Gray's book, as I'm sure you do, you know, the unexpected joy of being sober, because, you know, for me, it really was unexpected. It was so unexpected. I had expected to be utterly miserable, but just cope with it because I kind of had to, you know. I certainly was not expecting to feel, well, that incredible freedom. So what were the you know, the wonderful benefits for you?
Yeah, my favorite three are, and you just actually named them, but like the first one is definitely freedom, right? From the thinking of how much am I going to drink tonight? Can I moderate? Should I have two? Should I have none? Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. That voice, like that, just having peace from that constant, you know, voice, and also just so much more space in our heads to be able to think. The peace was huge. The freedom, freedom from that voice, peace, this kind of works together. And then the other one too is joy. Like I got my joy back, you know. I think when we get so used to hanging on that like artificial massive dopamine smack, we don't find joy in the day to day. And so we're constantly like, you know, working at this baseline mood that just is like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. And when you kind of level yourself out and you can find joy in the day to day again, when you're not relying on that massive artificial, you know, dopamine smack, you feel like so much better. And like, I was able to enjoy my kids again and just the little things, which sounds so cheesy, but it's true. Like I got my joy back.
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing? That fantastic sense of freedom. It really is. Yeah. It really is incredible. So tell me a bit about your podcast. I love the title, but Jesus Drank Wine and Other Stories That Kept Us Stuck. This is something that I talk about all the time because all of these goddamn articles that, you know, you will have noticed in the UK. Yeah. I don't know if they all pop up in America. I imagine they do, but certainly here in the UK. I mean, it's every goddamn week now that there's another one of these stupid stories that tell us that, you know, a glass of red wine is good for the heart. Well, actually, no, it isn't. Actually is not. But tell us a bit about, you know, how the podcast came about. Sounds like it's exactly that vibe.
Yeah, no, it is. It literally is. It's about the stories that kept us stuck, the lies that we kept telling ourselves in order to support Keep Drinking. It's geared kind of towards a Christian audience, although not all episodes are that way. But we basically, it's me and another coach, and we kept hearing this in like church or Bible studies of like, well, but Jesus drank wine. And and I used it too. So I was like, well, that has to be the title of the podcast because, I mean...
And that's now you mentioned a Christian audience. So tell me a bit more about that then, because I do find this very interesting that actually, you know, in church circles, there's not a lot of links with sobriety because, you know, you're right. You've got the communion wine, you've got part church parties, you've got, you know, my perception is that actually there's quite a lot of drinking goes on.
Yeah. And this is the thing too. It's it is really, really tricky, right? Because I mean, we don't have to go into like what the Bible says now, but like it does allow for, you know, for wine. Like Jesus did turn water into wine, but it does say not to get drunk. And so this is part of the thing that I wound up researching for my book is that, you know, biblical wine, the amount of alcohol and ethanol that's in our wine today is just at a totally and completely different level. So we're talking about different things when we're talking about like what it looked like back in biblical days. So in that sense, like really like church communities are like any other communities, right? And so there are people struggling. And actually what I found really interesting about that too is when I was with my agent pitching the book around to different publishers, all Christian publishers, a lot of people were very hesitant to talk to me because it was a way that wasn't AA.
I was just about to say that. When we think of the church and we think of sobriety, we tend to think of AA.
Yeah, which is like, I don't know. This could be a whole other podcast episode, Janie. But, you know, there are, as we both know, are other options if that doesn't resonate. And that's not necessarily the only one that has any Christian value to it, you know. So, it's just it is interesting because I feel like with that, we should all just when we're trying to help each other, all be on the same team. But yeah,
I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter how you get sober, does it?
Totally.
It does not matter. You know, and but, you know, you're right. I mean, while we're on this topic, you know, you're right that there are some entanglements here, you know, because, you know, as we've kind of alluded to with AA, you know, one of the main differences is that they, you know, this the higher power, the God piece that's really crucial, which can be very off-putting for some people. And yet, if you are, you know, within a church, if you are a Christian and you know, you're absolutely a believer in God, but you don't want to do the AA piece, it's confusing. Yeah. I can absolutely see how it would be confusing.
Yeah, it is confusing too, because, and this was the piece that why AA didn't resonate for me personally, was that the whole I'm powerless thing, when you actually like break it down, like God says he's powerful in us when we are weak. And so it was just like, why would I say that I'm powerless? I feel really strong when I was doing this journey and reading this stuff and getting empowered, you know, I felt way stronger, not exactly. Powerless at all.
Exactly that. I don't think for one second if Jesus was around right now, it'd be hanging hanging on for dear life for one more day. I think there'd absolutely be a sense of freedom, right?
Grace, how about grace and compassion?
totally. Yeah. And another thing that I know you talk about, you know, obviously as a parent, is that whole mummy wine culture thing. And I think that's just as relevant here in the UK as it is in the States. So I mean, I think I probably first thought about that when I was kind of listening to podcasts and then I interviewed Annie Grace and she interviewed me. And I remember thinking, oh, there's quite a lot of conversations around that kind of, you know, you meet for a ball game and there's the mums and there's the wine culture. But it wasn't long before I kind of realized, oh, hold on a minute. Exactly the same thing is happening here in the UK. It's perhaps slightly more subtle in that it's more a case of, you know, we'll kind of drop our kids off for a play date and it's, oh, why don't you come in? And then we kind of suss each other out at the door. You know, are you the kind of person that likes a drink? Oh, thank God for that. Come in.
Yeah,
you know,
that was me.
And if you aren't, I mean, I remember moving to a new neighborhood and that's really when my drinking ramped up, when the kids were young and we moved to a new neighborhood and I didn't know anyone and I didn't have very much sort of time on my hands. So if there was any time where the kids were looked after, it's like, wow, you know, I need to feel grown up now.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's so funny too, right? When you look back, like, I don't know what, like maybe my parents' generation or grandparents' generation, like it wasn't normal to bring a thermos full of like vodka or wine to the side of a sports match. Like, when did that happen? And the thing that really gets me, and maybe this is because like I was an influencer for 5 seconds, is like the mom influencers, right, on Instagram that are like pushing the mommy wine culture of like, this is what I need as my little escape and all this stuff. And it's just like, the thing that really fires me up is just that it is false information.
Because
nothing is putting you more at a disadvantage and on the back foot more than alcohol when you're trying to be a good mom. It's just the ultimate act of self-sabotage. And everyone thinks it's really cute and funny, but it's just keeping everybody, all the things.
exactly. So tell us a little bit about the book then. It's not out yet, is it?
No. Oh my gosh, traditional publishing takes a million years.
I know, doesn't it, Effa? I often work with people who are going to be writing a book. You know, I love helping people, birthday books. And then one of the things I always say to them is, look, you know, if you get a publishing deal tomorrow, probably 18 months before your book's out, if you're lucky. So, you know, if you want it quick, you're going to have to find another way.
And that's so funny because that's exactly what one of my coaches said to me. They're like, if you want to do this, it's like, you're looking at like 2 to 3 years out before you even see it. And I was like, oh, I better get going. So anyways, it's not, I've handed in the first draft. It's not even going to like see the light of day until September 24. But it is, it's like a 40-day alcohol break, but it's directed towards a Christian audience. So it's got some biblical support there. It's got some practical coaching tips for me. And so it's a little bit different than everything out there in that regard.
So sorry, when did you say it will be out then?
September 24.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not too far. That's great.
Feels far.
No, it's exciting. It's really exciting. Anything else you'd like to kind of share with us around, you know, who you really, I mean, I'm really intrigued by this idea of the kind of the prayers and the stuff that you share. Can you give us an example of anything?
From the book, you mean?
Yeah. A little taster.
I'm just trying to think. So one of the things that I really dive into, right, and it's just about like how drinking removes us kind of from our values and who we are authentically, because that's what happened to me. So everything in the book is very much, you know, my story wrapped in with again, like how the truth that I found to support the opposite, right? And just when I actually looked at like what was really important to me, when I looked at what the values were that mattered the most to me, they were family, they were faith, and they were being, you know, dependent and honest and all of these things that just alcohol was doing the complete opposite, right? I didn't want to be home with my kids. I wanted to be out on the town. Like I wasn't working on my marriage. I just didn't care. I was grumpy all the time, just trying to get through the day. And one of the bits of the book just talks about that, and just like how when I took a break from alcohol, I really was able to kind of rediscover what mattered to me again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm guessing you've come across some of the
some of the information or some of the stuff out there around the kind of origins of the word alcohol, which can get very scary. I'm sure you've seen some of that. And if you dig into some of that stuff, you know, whether or not you totally buy into it, I do think it's interesting, this kind of idea that spiritually, there's no doubt about it, when we're drinking, we can't operate in that place of spirituality. I really just don't think it's possible. Alcohol absolutely lowers our vibrations. Whatever that means to you, whatever your sense of spirituality is, you're definitely operating at a lower vibration when you're drinking.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. I mean, you know, if nothing else, that should be of interest, I think, to people who have a faith. I mean, I know that, you know, when I was drinking, I couldn't meditate, really. I couldn't sit still for long enough because, you know, there was a little voice somewhere saying, oh, you know, well, what's this about? You trying to kind of sit and be open to, you know, God's word or whatever might come in. Well, who are you kidding? You're not even authentic. You're not even doing what you say you're meant to stand for, right? There was this little voice that would just come in and tell me, you're not authentic.
Exactly. Like who are you when you're not, this is not even who, you know, your personality or who you are. You're not living this way. And the other thing too, right, is I realized in one of the many realizations is that I actually really function very well at mornings, you know, first thing. And that's when I do all that great, like quiet meditation, prayer, all that stuff is really early, both like usually before anybody is awake. And like, I mean, that wasn't happening before when I was drinking.
That's not going to play well, is it, if you're hungover?
No.
So it must have been great for your family. You must feel as though you're, you know, I mean, we all do, don't we? Just so much more present as a mom, as a partner. It just brings a whole new dimension to our family life, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, right now, my daughter is a newly minted teenager. And I always say I am so glad that I'm not drinking right now because I need all my mental wherewithal to play like, you know, basically like mental chess with her of like, do I go into the room? Do I not go into the room? What do I say? And I really credit like so far so good because of being sober, for sure.
Yeah, totally. And what about your partner? Does your partner drink?
He does still, but he has cut back a lot. And I haven't seen him drink at home in a very, very, very long time.
But
it was one of those things too, right? Where when I stopped, I realized how much I was also pushing it on everybody around me. So why was I so scared about what some of these people were going to think when I was the one that would like lock them in my house and give them tequila shots, you know?
It's so true. I mean, I hear that a lot and I'm sure you do. I know Annie Grace talks about it as well. The number of people who, you know, stop drinking and then as long as they're not doing the overly evangelical thing of pushing it on other people, actually those around them often do start to kind of think, oh, maybe I'll have a little bit of that. You know, you kind of shine a light, you kind of model the good behavior. And often other people do kind of think, you know, well, maybe I won't. I mean, certainly with my husband, he did drink. But he had an off switch. And after a while, when there was no alcohol in the house and I was clearly not drinking, I think he just kind of thought, well, why am I bothering? You know, there's absolutely no need for this toxic liquid. it was effortless for him just to stop, because why would he bother drinking, you know, when there's literally no benefit, right?
Yeah. And you bring up such a good point, just that there's so much more information on all of that now, right? Like we just know so much more on the health side. So really, why would you if you did have an off switch?
Exactly. Well, I really look forward to the book, Love Life Sober, Finding Freedom from Alcohol in 40 Days. And it's been great to chat to you, Christy. Really great to connect. And
thank you
so much for sharing your thoughts. And we'll make sure we put all the links in it for all your stuff in the show notes. Really great to chat to you. I hope we get to meet up.
We should. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, we should do something together. That'd be really fun.
We definitely should do that for sure.
Fantastic. Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Janie.
Thank you, Christy. We'll put those links in the show notes. And just a reminder then, I'm speaking at Russell Brand's Community Festival. It's 14th to 17th of July in Hay-on-Wye. I'm speaking Saturday the 15th. I would love to see you there. You can get day tickets. It's the same day as Wim Hof is speaking, you know, just saying. And then we've got our event to celebrate
almost 250 episodes of this podcast. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. And that is Tuesday, August 15th in London in the evening, and also Sober by the Sea, Saturday, 19th of August. And there will be a family constellation slotted in there somewhere as well, probably an online one first and then a live one later on in the summer. And I'm planning retreats. I am doing all this stuff, I promise you. So if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find all the information there. And just a reminder, if you are someone who would love connection, if you'd love more inspiration, if you'd love to see some content and just connect with other people, like-minded people, then check out the Sober Club. It's low cost. It's a small monthly fee. Or if you pay for a year, you get 2 months free and a free coaching call. It's really high value, really low cost. And it's for you whether you're sober curious and day one or whether you've been sober for 7, 8, 9 years. It doesn't matter. It's all about the what's next. And particularly if you're someone who is interested in that holistic picture, the mindset, the everything, literally. It's the spiritual health, the well-being, the physical health, all of it combined. I know that I'm very lucky in that I get some great experts to come and share stuff with us. So we have a whole portal of content full of stuff. We have regular meetups with experts and with me. We have a fantastic private group, which is small. It's not one of those massive groups where you're lost. It's very small, very supportive, totally non-judgmental. So I'm really proud of what's been created with the Sober Club. It really is an amazing group of people. So please do check it out, thesoberclub.com. You can obviously leave at any time if you don't like it. If you don't want to join the Sober Club, if that's not for you, or maybe you're already got lots of connections, but you'd like to support this work, then you can head to buymeacoffee.com/Janie Lee Grace. I think that's right. And you can buy me a coffee, although of course I would always rather have a real coffee with you. So if that's possible, let me know. Don't forget as well, follow me on social media at Janie Lee Grace. Just drop me a message. If you are doing this, if you're starting out and you want to tell somebody, you can tell me. It doesn't always feel quite right to tell your partner or your family. That's okay. Tell me you're doing it and I'll hold that vision for you. And if you are concerned and you really want to get some support and help, check out Alcohol Change UK. They've got lots of really great stuff on their website. Always reach out. Don't hold up. Honestly, if I can get free from this, you can get free from this. I promise you. And don't forget as well, you know, just so much support is available out there. You aren't on your own. I really thought I was the only one when I first started out on this journey. I thought I was the only person who was not at rock bottom, but not okay. You know what? There are millions and millions of people like that. And the more we spread this message, the better. And on that note, if you're interested in being a sober coach, I realise that isn't for everyone, but if it's you and you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's what I've been looking for, then drop me a message and we can have a chat. I will see you same time next week. Have yourself a fantastic weekend. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.